Hello, everyone, and welcome to TCG News Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything indie TCG related. I'm your host, Zyphine, and today we have a special guest. Feel free to introduce yourself, tell us your name, and what you're developing.
Thank you. My name is Parker Herrera. I am a 22-year-old card game developer from New Jersey. I am working on a game called Conjure Timelines. It's a card game that sort of, the goal was to make it more so that the player has more of a role. I think a lot of card games don't focus on who the player is in the storyline or in, you know, in the gameplay. So I wanted to try to really focus on that in my game.
Okay. How exactly do you make the focal point the player themselves?
So in the, I don't want to go through the whole storyline because it's quite long, but a very summary, very basic. The player actually is from another universe, another timeline. The world that kind of that takes place in the beginning is called Aloria. And what happens is there's this girl who winds up inadvertently breaking this time stone, essentially, and it creates this rift in the world. And that rift actually opens up other timelines together and all these other realities. And you as the player are actually someone from another timeline who gets pulled into Aloria when the rift opens. And one of the main people there, and she's actually a card, her name is Alicia. She meets with you, and she believes that it was sort of fate that brought you to Aloria, and that she thinks that you're the one who is able to stop it. And, you know, whether or not you as a player actually believes that's possible is one thing, but that's sort of the idea. And then when you're playing, you actually have these ally cards who are supposed to be the people in the world that you meet, that you choose to join your team to try to figure out what's going on with this rift and with these other timelines and things like that.
Is there anything else other than, you know, creating a sense of the player being essentially in the game or having a unique role in it? Is there anything else that creates a like unique aspect to your TCG compared to others?
Yeah, sure. So the other thing that I do is I utilize, so all the cards have a cost on them to play. I think that's probably pretty typical. However, my cards are, the cost of them is actually called cast time. So in a lot of games that I've seen before, when they talk about, like, you know, the stack, like, for example, like when you think of Magic and then they have the stack where you play a bunch of cards on top of each other, my cards actually will resolve in cast time order, from bottom to top. So the cheapest cards will happen before the higher cost cards. So that's another, like, kind of strange way that you can balance cards. Sometimes you can have cards that are really, really strong, but they take a longer time to actually play, so the card's physical cost to play is higher. So that's one thing. Also, as I said before, you have these ally cards, and those actually function as your health. So when the allies are defeated, that's how you win the game. And the last thing is a card type called Expanse. So the expanses are kind of like the regions in which you battle in. However, and I've actually been told that these are maybe similar to stadium cards in Pokemon. I've never actually played Pokemon, so I can't make that, you know, verdict. But the expanses, how they work is you play them. They have, you know, an effect. Typically, it's like a static or triggered effect that happens every turn or whatever. But all of the ally cards have two abilities, one of which you can just activate whenever you want on your turn, and the other one actually references what attribute or what color the expanse is. So only one expanse can be in play at any time because it is supposed to be the region. But okay. But how it works is, if for example, let's say we're both playing. And if you have an ally out that's air, for example, and I also have one that's air, and you play an air expanse, you'll get the effect of the card itself, and also your ally will gain its additional air effect because, you know, you have the expanse that your ally works with. but then because I also have an air ally, I will also get my bonus effect, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, like, we share the attribute, even though the card is yours.
Yeah, that makes sense. Talking about the ally cards, is there a set amount that you have already, like, in play at the beginning, or how exactly do they work?
Every deck, when you're constructing, you will pick two allies. You will pick one primary ally, and that's the one that I said that has two abilities. And then you will pick one secondary ally. And these typically only have one ability and are more of supporting cards to the primary allies. And in the storyline as well, the primary allies are typically like the more important storyline people. Like, for example, like Alicia that I mentioned before, or the girl who destroyed the stone. Her name is Telvanna. She is also a primary ally. Yeah, so you'll get two. You have two of them, and they will both start in play.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I know you briefly said you have a card that, or cards that essentially set, like, the region or the, like, mm-hmm. area of the game. Does that mean that your game kind of has, like, multiple themes, or what's the overlining theme of your game?
So it is a strong fantasy theme. The game that I currently are in, like, the expansions that we're doing right now, these are strong fantasy. Because it is supposed to be timeline driven, there are, you know, this is a future thing, this isn't currently at the moment, but there are future and other timelines that maybe are more steampunk driven, or maybe are, you know, some other kind of theme. Maybe they're sci-fi. So it's sort of a little bit fluid and up for change, because it's not, there are all these other realities in the storyline that are kind of occurring at the same time. But in the set I'm producing now, it's just a pretty typical fantasy styling.
I mean, that's really cool though, the fact that you essentially have a ever-changing game. I think's pretty cool.
It's been fun.
How easy do you think this game would be to pick up for a brand new player?
A brand new player to trading card games, or a brand new player just to, like, have they played games before or no?
For this, let's go ahead and say they dabbled in some TCGs, but they're brand new to your game.
Got it. It's not too bad. I did simplify a lot of stuff, so it is a lot easier than it was previously. So there aren't, like, too many keywords or anything, and there aren't very many card types either. I think the hardest part is probably just figuring out, like, what you really want your deck to do and what allies are the best for it. As far as the physical gameplay, it kind of feels like playing Hearthstone backwards. So all of the cards are played with the same resource. It's a neutral resource. There's no, like, color specificity in the cards. The cards have their own attribute, but, like, not to play the card. So it's kind of like you're playing Hearthstone backwards. You're pretty much starting with maximum resources instead of starting with nothing and building over time. And that was actually, I should have mentioned it before, that was actually one other thing that I tried to do in this that I thought would be a little bit different than other games. I was trying to, I mean, obviously this is fantasy, so it's fictional, but I was trying to be a little bit more realistic in terms of fighting. So, like, if you and I were physically fighting, we're the strongest at the start, and then we, like, you know, weaken over time. Yeah. So the idea was that you have maximum resources at the beginning, and in this current version, you actually will not lose resources. In a previous version, you did lose resources over time, but that was a little bit complicated, so just for the moment, I'm not dabbling with that. But we're the strongest at the start, so you're going to start with all of your resources. And it's also supposed to make it so you're not, like, never able to play cards or anything. You know, if you have a hand that, you know, all the cards are really expensive, you can't play any of them, kind of thing. The idea is that you're always allowed, you always are able to play everything, assuming you have the resource to do so.
Okay, that's pretty cool. It helps with the issue of, let's go back to Magic, if you don't have enough land on the field, you're kind of essentially screwed until you can get more land, and if your opponent has more, then you're essentially just going to lose. So that's a pretty cool feature to add.
I tried to survey. I actually surveyed a bunch of people, and I asked a bunch of people, like, obviously, because most of the people I play with play Magic, generally. So I just asked everybody. I was like, "What is the least fun thing in Magic to you. And like 99% of people said getting mana screwed or color screwed.
Yep.
And obviously that wasn't why I made this. This was already kind of an idea in itself, but that sort of like firmed up like, hey, like this is a problem that a lot of people have. So that kind of also like, you know, was like, okay, well, this is something I definitely want to work with more than.
Yeah, completely makes sense. So you did mention that one of the hardest things for a new player is essentially them finding the right cards to add to the deck. Do you happen to have any starter decks that could help with new players to essentially figure out what type of build they want to go with for a deck?
Yeah, so I actually have two, which are actually on Kickstarter, but I have two that are currently out. So one of them, I'll just give, you know, very, very basic info. So one of them is a weather-based deck. So every attribute in my game has a specific kind of thing that it does. So the air cards are very focused on the weather. They can change the weather to gain different effects. So the one of them is that. And the main weather card, or the main weather ally is very obvious. Pick from. There's actually, for each attribute, there's actually only two primary and three secondary, so there's not too many choices. I think it's more just like figuring out like what you want to do in general, like at the beginning, because like a lot of people are like, oh, I want to build an aggressive deck, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, do you want it? Like, there's a bunch of ways to do it. I think that's okay. More the reason, just picking how you want to do it. So one of them is an air-based weather deck, and then the other one is a dark based thievery deck. It actually utilizes a few of the, they're called Dreadwake. That is the it's not a creature type, but that's like the titled cards that are in the deck. But the deck aims to kind of steal cards from your opponents and then let you play them.
Okay.
So those are the two starter decks that I have that are built and playable.
Okay, cool. Now, I know you've kind of been doing this as we've been talking, but would you be able to explain your game to someone who hasn't ever heard of it?
Sure. So, Conjure Timelines is a card game in which you choose these powerful allies which attempt to aid you in a quest to stop this devastating rift from consuming all realities. You construct a deck of exactly 20 cards, and then not included in those 20 are your one primary and one secondary ally, and then you fill your deck with cards like familiars, which act as creatures, to help defeat your opponent's allies, spells that have varying effects to improve your odds of winning, and expanses to choose the regions in which you fight to improve your allies and strengthen their abilities.
Okay.
Probably what I would say.
Sweet. Would you mind giving us a rundown of how to play your TCG, essentially from the start to the end and the win con? That makes sense.
Yeah, sure. So you will build a deck, as I said, of exactly 20 cards with two allies, one primary, one secondary. Your decks can include exactly two copies, up to two copies of any card. You will generally pick about 4 to 6 expanse cards. That's at least what I've seen is the optimal amount. And then the rest can be familiar spells as you choose. Each player will begin the game with their 20 card decks, their two allies in play. Originally, the idea was that the allies were going to be face down until the game started, but it actually doesn't matter anymore because you can't mulligan. So your allies will just start in play. You draw 3 cards from the deck, and those are your 3 cards to use. Each player draws a card at the start of their turn, even if you're the first player, and each player takes 1 turn before anybody can attack. So you'll take a turn, I'll take a turn, and then back to you, and you can attack now. Your familiars can attack the turn they enter, and just a very basic on phases of the turn. So you have your like recovery phase where you go back up to 10 time. I should start with that, I suppose. Yes, so each player has 10 time in what's called their timeline. That is just your resource bank, essentially. We both will start with 10 on the first turn, even if it's your turn. Like, so even if you start, I will also have 10 open, available, if any of my cards have a special keyword called Blitz that allows me to play them during your turn. But yes, so in your recovery phase, you will go back up to 10, and then you will draw a card. Your start phase will activate if any of your cards just specifically say at the start of your turn. And then you have the conjure and combat phase. So there's no like set like main phases or combat phases. You can do whatever you want. You can play a card, you know, play a familiar, and then you can play a spell. You can attack with a single familiar. You can really do whatever you want during that time. Your familiars can attack alone. They can attack together. You can attack an enemy familiar. You can attack an enemy ally. You get to choose. And then after you have completed, you know, all of your things for the turn, you go to the end phase, where any effects that say at the end of your turn or until the end phase will end. Your ally cards that, you know, I said have abilities, you can use one. You can use their ability once per turn on your turn only. And that's like a very, very basic rundown of how it plays. Yeah, I would say that's probably the simplest rundown I can give.
Okay, and do you happen to have any like tutorials or video showcasing gameplays and stuff like that for if anyone's interested in watching that?
I'm actually working on it. I don't have anything yet, but I do have just because I had actually never used Untap before, you know, I started kind of meeting people. We had always used the program Cockatrice. So I actually have Cockatrice, like, game replays available. I'm not sure if I can download them, but I can, like, show them. Okay. You know, like, I can stream it. So I probably could download the video. But I'm working on getting it together. I was just, you know, doing a lot of other things, but I'm working on putting something together, kind of like a how-to guide, and then here's some gameplay to watch, because I know that does help a lot of people kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a YouTube channel or anything else for your game yet?
I don't have a I have a YouTube channel. There's nothing on it. But I have an Instagram page that I've been using more recently, but once I have the video together for the gameplay and stuff, that will go on the YouTube channel.
Okay, sounds good.
Once it's together.
So, you did mention that essentially choosing cards for your deck and making your deck is one of the hardest things for players to grasp. Is there anything else that is, I guess, hard to grasp for your game, in your opinion?
As far as like the picking cards, I think it's honestly just picking the allies is probably, but okay. The only other thing that people have commented that is like a little bit confusing is actually just the cast time resolution order. It actually has been better. I simplified it a lot. It was a little bit more complicated before, but some people I've seen who aren't used to playing Magic specifically have been a little bit confused when multiple cards are played at the same time and there's a different resolution order, but like after it's been explained, it seemed fine. It's just like the original, like, oh, that's kind of strange, I don't, wait, what's that kind of thing. Which, you know, I feel like is potentially true with a lot of games, sort of. Yeah. The initial like, wait, that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, so essentially once you grasp it, it's really easy. It's just potentially...
It's just strange the first time. Yeah. Because I think people are used to like being like, oh, I played a card and then you played a card, so yours happens first, kind of thing. But yeah. It's not. It's based on how much the card costs to play, which I think is sometimes confusing the first time or so that you see it.
Okay. Now, how long does your game last, like a single match last on average?
Games are best 2 out of 3. It is a little bit dependent on how aggressive the players are playing. but I would probably average like 20 to 30 minutes. It is fair, faster paced, compared to other games that I've seen. The allies don't have that much health, so the games can end pretty quickly. If you're really, really aggressive, sometimes you can, you know, kill people in a couple turns, but it's super dependent on what your opening hand is, because obviously those are the only cards you get. So like if your opening hand's really great, you might take that win, the first game win pretty quickly. So it's, you know, that's sort of the trade-off. But typically, I would say about 20 to 30 minutes.
And I don't recall if you've said this already, so sorry if you did, but how long have you been developing the game itself?
So in the Discord server I have, I've been kind of documenting updates over time. And the oldest one I have is from January of 2019. I don't have like a specific month, year, but it would have been at least before then. I've been developing games, you know, for probably a decade. So, like, not this specific one, but I've just been building games ever since I was really young. So this one I probably say maybe I started in like 2018.
Okay.
Or more like kind of finalized toward its direction now.
That makes sense. What similarities do you think you share with other games? I know you did mention that some things kind of are magic related, but what else do you think you share like with other TCGs, like AAA, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, so it does have like a magic kind of feel. Just I think more so because you're just like kind of paying for these cards and things like that. But I think that the neutral resource expanse, as I commented, is I guess, you know, similar to how Hearthstone works, just because it's all, you know, the same resource. And people have, as you know, people have said that the expanses are kind of similar to stadiums, just in the fact that they're like kind of regional areas and you can only have one of them in play. But that's really about it. A lot of the feel, or I don't know if I've been lucky, I guess, that a lot of people have thought that it does feel pretty different from other things they've played. But those are like the kind of like couple little things that I've been told, or I think that maybe are a little bit similar.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, your game sounds really, really unique. So I wasn't thinking there was going to be a whole lot. Now, I know you said your game is about 4 years old. What's your 5-year plan? What do you want to see your game in 5 years look like?
So I'm running, you know, as I said, I'm running the Kickstarter for the two starter decks now. In January of 2023, we'll have all of the artwork done for the first. So technically, the first set is composed of two sets. It's Conjure Timelines, and then there's Elements and Beyond. Those are the two little box sets. So the Elements one will include the Fire, Air, Earth, and Water cards, and then the Beyond set includes the Light, Dark, Time, and Space. So January 2023, I'm hoping to be able to, you know, crowdfund or do something similar for the actual full box set releases. And then in the future, the goal is that, you know, hopefully the game becomes more popular, and I can start releasing expansion sets on a more regular basis. In its current state, you get all the cards in the box, and that's really because, you know, I'm a poor college graduate. I can't afford to produce like card packs and all of those kinds of things at the moment. So I'm putting everything in the box to be able to hopefully, you know, generate interest and then be able to produce it more like a traditional trading card game in the future. That's sort of the goal. So, you know, in 5 years, oh my God, it'd be 2027. it would be great if I could produce it a, you know, true trading card game, releasing, you know, 2 to 3 sets a year would be the goal.
I guess as of now, your game's technically more of a LCG than it is a TCG.
Card game in a box, essentially. Just for monetary reasons, mostly.
Yeah, and I mean, it's actually a pretty popular thing, especially for players. TCGs are, in my opinion, or from what I've learned, TCGs are more collector base, and that's where your, you know, profit comes in. But LCGs and anything that essentially has the entire game in a box, players, you know, obviously prefer that because it's a lot cheaper. It might be a more expensive upfront cost, but they have everything they need. So yeah, I do think that's a pretty good thing.
Okay, I was gonna say I was also planning to produce some, like, it, when I do like the in 2023 when I do like the big box set, I was also planning to put some like special kind of like, I don't want to say like promotional, but like some special promotional versions of a couple cards in the boxes too, to kind of give, you know, give something a little bit nicer as well in there. So I, you know, I was planning to do something like that too, which kind of feels a little bit TCG-ish. So I, you know, I was planning to, you know, maybe put some like adjusted art version, or, you know, I don't know, something like that, or text list maybe, or things like that. Just to give a little bit, you know, a little bit excitement when you open it, rather than just, not that it wouldn't be not exciting, but more like that it's not just, oh, everyone gets the same exact box. It's like, oh, you know, I got this box. What three, you know, foil cards do I get, or whatever. But, you know, I had been thinking about maybe doing something like that, but that's not set in stone yet.
And doing that would be pretty cool too. It would help the collectors have a chance to get some sort of collectible card from it. So
maybe I could do both.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the people who want the game in the box.
Now, are you ever planning on hosting any events for your card game? Things like tournaments and conventions?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I have actually talked to a local game store, and they did say that, you know, I would be able to set up some, like, some playtest sessions now, but they're super awesome, so I'm sure that if enough people were interested, they would have no problem hosting a tournament on a night they don't have something else going on. I would love to attend a convention for it. I actually went to last year, I went to PAX Unplugged, that's in Philadelphia, and I didn't have like a table or anything, because I didn't actually realize you could do that, but I brought some of my like cards to it, and I showed a couple people. I didn't have, like, you know, there wasn't a ton of time for people to look at it, but they sort of just kind of flipped through and we talked about it a little bit. But I'm hoping to also have, you know, next year, maybe when, you know, the pandemic is hopefully a little bit lower, have like a booth there and have some decks ready and stuff like that, so that I can show more people. I really like the game convention, so I would like to participate in that hopefully next year.
Okay. Yeah, that would be awesome. PAX is...
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and PAX is something a lot of card game developers would love to do. It's just, it is very expensive to get a table for it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I've looked into
it. We'll see whether or not it's more expensive to produce the game or get a table.
Yeah. Now, you did say in 2023 you're going to have the entire set, and you do want, you said, potentially Cyberpunk and other types of sets like that. What is the set that you're kind of, I guess, most looking forward to in the future?
So I'm still trying to actually figure out how I'm setting this up. So Conjure Timelines is a each storyline in my game is separated into different acts, kind of like acts of a play, they're acts of a story. And the Alloria Chronicles, each quote-unquote block is called a chronicle, and the Alloria Chronicles originally, actually when I was designing it as a full TCG, was a 5-act block. So Conjure Timelines is a summary, essentially, of everything that happens in those 5 sets. So kind of in the I haven't decided yet in the future whether I want to actually release the full true 5 sets, which include different cards, of course, but the thing I'm most interested in is actually the Clockwork Chronicles, which was supposed to be the next block, which includes a lot of like steampunk based stuff, robots and these like I made a bunch of these like gemstone driven robot cards. They were actually pretty fun to play with. So I think that would be really fun. I don't know where it is, but I have a whole list somewhere of just like a bunch of different like worlds, because there's all these different timelines. So the other thing I can do too, which is kind of fun, is have another Alloria in a future set, but it's like different because it's a different version of it. It's a different reality in which it exists in. So it could actually have similar people, but maybe like the people who were like, you know, not evil are evil now, or like, you know, because it's completely different, which is kind of fun. Oh, but I'm very excited for I think the Clockwork one will be fun.
Sounds pretty cool. And yeah, like, you know, Marvel and stuff, they do the same type of thing where they have essentially different timelines and stuff like that. I don't know if you saw the latest Spider-Man, but it plays a huge part in that too. I don't wanna but yeah, that's pretty cool. And it does allow you to revisit older sets and kind of update them while also keeping it unique and original, which is really cool. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, out of all the like big card games, which one is your favorite?
I would say, I mean, I've played Magic since 10th edition. That's 2007, I think. So definitely probably Magic, but I honestly really like Force of Will as well. It's actually a game that not a lot of people know about. But it is a trading card game designed around fairy tales.
Okay.
And I really like, you know, Alice in Wonderland and all of those things. And those are all cards in the game. Also, the art's just beautiful. So I really like that one as well. It's just not really that popular, at least on the East Coast. But game's pretty. pretty cards just make it's if it's pretty, I like it typically. Cards are pretty.
Yeah,
that's really what matters.
Yeah, I agree completely. I don't know if you've played any of like any indie card games or like HTCGs. If you have, which one is your favorite?
So unfortunately, I haven't. I actually recently just joined the kind of homemade card game server, so I actually haven't gotten to play that many yet. I've played Alchemazam. I played that. That was actually pretty cool. That was fun. And the other ones that I've looked at but I haven't played yet, I like Mechbound just the way it looks because I think robots are cool. And Hexarch looks pretty neat. I like the idea of like cards that like also exist on a board that potentially you like move around and stuff. I think that's pretty neat. I just like when like people take card games and just do something very different with them, or like they just feel very different. So those have been pretty neat so far. I'm looking to play more. I just haven't been here that long to be able to do that.
Well, cool. Is there anything else you'd like to say or plug before we go ahead and call it quits?
Well, I want to, you know, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to do this. I wanted to, you know, thank all the help I've got, you know, from the community, from friends, family, you know, to not only be supportive, but also help make the game better. My artists, of course, are absolutely phenomenal. You know, as I said, we're live on Kickstarter, which is really cool. I think we have about 3 weeks left and we are over halfway funded. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, I just wanted to say thanks.
Well, no problem. I greatly appreciate you hopping in and joining us. Let us, you know, ask you a bunch of questions. Thank you once again, and thank everyone else who has been listening. Y'all have a great day.
See you later.